Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Father, once again, I want to thank you for your marvelous grace, your goodness, and your kindness to us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet, precious Holy Spirit of God, who, Lord, lives within us, certainly to convict us and to teach us. And Father, tonight we ask you to let us allow him to teach us, that we might understand some truths from your wonderful word. Now we thank you again in the lovely, wonderful, precious name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. As we said, tonight we're bringing a message, treasures, where to put them. I think in this portion of scripture that we just read to you, I think the Lord made it very plain where we're to lay up treasures at. Not on this earth, but in heaven. And tonight we're going to take you through some scripture to just try to help you to understand this wonderful truth. I would just like to say to you, if you'll just listen to the truth from these messages, listen to the truth of what God is saying in his word, it will help you. Amen. And it'll not only help you now here in life, but throughout all eternity. Because that's what he's talking about. He's talking about laying up treasures in heaven. I think sometimes we have a little problem. We're all human. We have a little problem of looking to the now instead of to the future. We've preached that sermon on, you know, live with your eye on the judgment seat. In other words, everything you do, you got to remember somewhere down the line we're going to face the Lord. I think it's the same way with finances. I think it's the same way with treasures. God is trying to convince us that it's not all here, but look to the future. And for individuals, we old human beings, that's a little bit difficult sometimes for us to do, because we want to look to the now. But God is always wanting us to look on down the road. Look toward heaven. Look what God's going to do down in the future. And so that's kind of what we're going to do this evening, is where do we put these treasures? What does God say? Well, he says to lay them up in heaven and not to lay them up on, or to lay them up on this earth. So that's what we're going to try to do this evening. There was a man walking down an old dusty road. He was getting ready. He was going to town. And it was a good little distance from his home to town. And so as he got on up the road, the road would go on up, and it would circle around to the left and head toward town. He'd always get to this certain place, and with the permission of his neighbor, he would cut over into his neighbor's field and cut across. It made it much shorter, and so he would cut across this neighbor's field. And so he did that once again, going across this field. And as he got partway into the field, as I said, the neighbor had given him permission to do this, and had at one time even told him and offered him that he could buy the field. And the gentleman just didn't feel like he had enough money. He just didn't have enough to do it. He had loved to have the field, but he just didn't have enough money to buy it. But he had always cut across.
And as he got partway across the field, he stopped to rest for a moment, having a stick in his hand. For me, it would be a cane nowadays, but a stick in his hand, a staff in his hand. And he kind of just took the staff, you know, and just kind of jabbed it into the ground and was standing there, and he heard it hit something sounded like metal. And so he did it again, and he got down and began to dig around, and right underneath the ground there, he noticed there was a chest. And so he dug around that chest and saw that it had a padlock on it. And he found him a fairly good-sized rock, and he began to knock that padlock off of that chest. And when he got it off, he opened it up. Inside was all kind of gold coins and silver coins and jewels. Having never seen anything like that in his life, he was astonished. And so he closed the lid back. He said to himself, he said, "This is not mine. I cannot take it. Whoever owns the field owns the box." So he covered it all back up, marked where he had put it, went home, and took everything he had and sold it, gathered it together, sold everything he had, went to his neighbor and offered that to buy the field, and he bought the field. So now he owned the jewels. He owned the gold, the silver. Jesus gave us a same kind of a story. In the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, he said it in one verse of Scripture. I'm just going to read it to you, verse 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field." You know, if we would take time, we're not going to take time to expound upon that scripture, but there's no doubt whatsoever in my mind, it's speaking about the Lord Jesus himself, when he saw a great treasure. To him, it was a great treasure. You and I, the whole world. Salvation of all of the world that was lost. He came and gave his all. Shed his blood that he might purchase us. To him, it was a great treasure. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand that, but to him, it was a great treasure. And he came and gave all that he had, that he might make way for our salvation. Amen. Amen. Well, I think what God is trying to get us to see is this, that there's a greater treasure out there waiting. There's something greater. We might think we have a lot, or we have a lot here on this earth and we don't want to get rid of it or whatever it might be, but we don't realize that there's a greater treasure on the other side waiting on us. You see, and that's what he's trying to get us to do, is look forward to the future instead of laying our treasures up down here to lay them up in heaven. Amen? Because, boy, that's there going to be there waiting on us when we get there. Amen? And so Jesus, of course, died for our sin, because he considered this a great treasure, greater than anything else. And he purchased us. I believe this message will help us. Again, I want to encourage people, because I know when we speak on finances, sometimes we want to get a little bit defensive. Folks, there's nothing to get defensive about. These are true teachings of the Word of God that will help you. I want that. I know your pastor wants that. I know Pastor Jerry wants this for you. It'll help you not only now, but in the future for all eternity. And so these are teachings that I believe that will do that. I did not figure this out. I read where a man said, and I think he's certainly probably very close. He said 15% of all the teachings of Jesus Christ deal with finances or possessions. And tonight we're going to go through some scriptures that'll prove that out. Jesus used that illustration of finances and possessions multitudes of times in the scripture. Now, I believe why he does that, because I believe he's saying unto us, what we do with our money and our possessions shows forth our faith. It isn't our faith is in the money, but it's in God. But it's an example of our faith. And we're going to again try to show that to you. Over in the book of Luke, if you will, please, in the book of Luke, the third chapter of the book of Luke, we're going to take some portions of Scripture and show you how the teaching of the Bible talks about over and over and over possessions and, of course, money. In the book of Luke, notice the third chapter. Did I tell you that? The third chapter. We'll start at verse number 7. Then said he to the multitude. Now, this is John the Baptist preaching, okay? To kind of give you a little background, John the Baptist is one of those fellows that just preached it as it was. I mean, he was just a hard-hitting preacher, okay? And he said in verse 7, he said, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers. Can you imagine getting up today and saying, you generation of vipers? That's what John the Baptist did. And he says, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. And take note of that. Because we're going to be dealing with that. Because he says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able in these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, then what shall we do then? In other words, what shall we do to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance? To show forth that we are repenting, what should we do? And then he answers them, and he says, he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. Now notice he uses possessions. And he says, here's some fruit that shows forth repentance. You've got two coats. Now, he's not talking about salvation here. You're all wise enough to understand that. He's not saying you give a coat away, you get salvation, okay? You understand that? He's not saying that. You know that, I believe. But anyway, I just want to stress that. He's not saying. But he says, you know what, if you have two coats and someone don't have one, he didn't say give them both away. He said give them one. I think that's a good thing today, don't you? I mean, you know, we know somebody that has need of a coat. We got two coats. Give them one. He said the same thing about meat. I gave an illustration about that last week, and I'm not going to do that again. But he says, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. In other words, if you know someone that doesn't have meat, they didn't have meat, they have some need of it, you got meat, give it to them. I mean, amen? But he's talking about our possessions. These are things that, quote, quote, we own. I know God owns them, but, you know, they're ours. But he said, give it to them. And then he said in verse 12, then came also publicans to be baptized. And he said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. It was a noted fact that publicans, tax collectors, took more than what they were supposed to take. So he tells them, no, you don't take more than what you're supposed to take. You just take just what you're supposed to take of them. Pay the taxes that they would pay. Once again, you notice he's dealing with fruit of repentance, and he says, do right in your finances. I think the same today. It's fruit of repentance. Now, I'm going to show you through here, but look what he says then again. He says, and he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Verse 14, and soldiers likewise,
demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Now, he told him two things, but at the end he said, "Now, be content with your wages." In other words, once again, he deals with finances and possessions. So I'm saying to you, as he answers here, John the Baptist answers here, he's using, like Jesus does over and over, he's using our possessions as a heart test. You see, and I believe that's what it is. I believe these possessions and the finances that we have is God uses them as a test of our heart. Amen. So anyway, we I believe faith then is shown by what we do with our possessions. Mark it down. Think about what I'm saying. Okay? It's not faith in the possessions, but I want to tell you something. What we do with them is a test of our heart. Now I'm going to show you this. Go with me again over to Luke, the 19th chapter. Of course, this is the story of Zacchaeus. We're not going to read all of it. But verse 6, he says he made haste and came down. You remember when he looked up and Jesus looked up and saw Zacchaeus, and he told him to make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus was not saying because he's going to take half of his goods and give it to the poor, because he's going to restore fourfold those he maybe that had cheated. He's not saying because of that he's saved. No, no, no. He's saying he's doing this because he's saved. It's a heart test. Once again, Zacchaeus wouldn't have done that 5 minutes before that, but he met Jesus. And so he pointed out what Zacchaeus was willing to do in his heart because he had met Jesus. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? So once again, he uses finances, possessions as a test of the heart. Okay? And then notice over in the book of Acts, second chapter of the book of Acts, second chapter, verse number 40. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this unto forward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and they had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, and to, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Do you notice one of the things it said they did? They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. You've got to understand something. This was terrible, terrible times. There was people, I would say, probably starving to death. They had turned to Christ. They didn't have anything. But possessions no longer meant anything to these people. You know why? Because their heart had changed. Amen.
their heart had changed. And there was a need there, a great need there. And there was people that had need. So what they do? They just brought their stuff and they sold it, and so that all men were taken care of. You see, another example of the test of the heart. Amen? Okay, look at chapter 4, Acts, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many of them were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold. Again, he just mentions this again, but notice the many times he mentions what these people did with their possessions and their finances. You see, over and over and over, he talks about these things in the Scripture. And he uses them as a heart test. See, not that they did this to be saved, but because they was saved. Okay? And I believe this is what he's talking about, partially what he's talking about, when he talks about laying up treasures in heaven. Not on this earth for yourself, but in heaven. You see, and that's what these people were doing. Go with me over to Acts, the 19th chapter. Verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Then it says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Once again, they was not concerned about the 50,000 pieces of silver that it had cost them. You know why? Because they had a new heart. You understand what I'm saying? You see, when you get a new heart, it's just we teach, and I know the youth leaders teach our young people constantly about these things. When you got old records and or CDs and all of those kind of things that you ought not to have, you ought to disband of them. You ought to burn them and get rid of them. Whatever you have to do, you ought to get rid of them out of your possession. And when a heart is right with God, you'll have no trouble doing that. I don't care if it costs you hundreds of dollars, and I suppose probably those CDs probably do. If you have a lot of them, cost hundreds of dollars, doesn't make any difference. You ought to get rid of them. Destroy them. Burn them. You see, why did they was they willing to do this? And he points again, why did he even mention about the 50,000 pieces of silver? Because he wanted us to know how much they was worth, how much they cost them, and look what they was willing to do. Just get rid of them and burn them. Money no longer was the big object. I say that again to young people. I don't know where you're at. I don't know each one of you where you're at. But I want to tell you, if you got any of that junk in your house, get rid of it. If you're hiding it somewhere, your mom and dad don't know about it, go get it and burn it. Get rid of it. Destroy it. And don't ever get any more of it. You know why? Because that's a proof of a good heart. It isn't. You know, it doesn't make your salvation, but it's a proof of a good heart. Okay? Now you understand what I was talking about. You see, money becomes not the big important issue any longer when we know Christ and our heart's right with God. It's not the money or possessions. You see, because we know, as we learned last week, they belong to God anyway. They're His. Okay? Over in Mark, the 12th chapter. Mark, 41st verse. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples.
Did you notice that? Jesus said, come here, disciples, come here. I want you to see this. I want you to notice this.
And he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasure. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had,
even all of her living.
Now, I want you to notice something, because I think I mentioned this once before and I didn't mention this. I don't think Jesus was criticizing these rich people for giving. He was saying she just gave more than they did. They gave out of their abundance. She didn't have anything left. What they had, they gave a lot, but they had a whole lot left. You see, I believe that's the way we ought to kind of judge our giving nowadays, is maybe not so much what we give, what do we got left? You understand what I'm saying? You know, what do we have left? What do we got to go on? You know, you make $1,000 and this poor person over here makes $100 and he gives $10 a tithe and you give $100, you still got $900 left. I mean, amen? You know, I'm saying we ought to take that in consideration in our giving. Don't you think? Amen. So anyway, we find that this dear lady, poor widow, she gave her all. I think I told you last week, I just mentioned it real quick, somebody might be here, was I still think Zacchaeus was sitting on her doorstep when she got home. He had already said, I'm going to give half to the poor. And when she came home, it isn't in Scripture. All right. I just kind of think Zacchaeus was sitting there to give her something when she got home. Because God did take care of her. No, God took care of her. I don't know all how he done it, but he took care of her. Now again, though, did you notice again how he used the illustration? Look what this lady done with her money. I mean, he's always bringing it back here to possessions and money. What did she do with it? And it was enough for him to call his disciples over and say, I want you to notice this. I want you to see what she did. She gave more than the all. She gave her all. Okay? So again, he points out, and I'm trying to illustrate that tonight, is the fact that over and over and over in Scriptures, God uses money and possessions as a test of our heart. Okay? Look at Luke, the 12th chapter. I think we read this last week, as I remember, but let me just read it quickly. 12th chapter, 16th verse. Made a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and all my goods. We mentioned that last week. You notice the my's and I and all that throughout this. It was his. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Once again, God uses the things and possessions of this man who was rich to test his heart. We know this man had left God out of his life. He was too busy making a living, too busy making money, laying up treasures for himself, as the Word of God said, and he wasn't rich toward God. Listen to me. You want to be rich toward God. Okay? Now you say, you know, this preacher's not pointing my finger at you to get on you. I'm saying when the judgment time comes, you're going to be glad you're rich toward God, and so will I. That's what's important. Amen? That's what's really, really important. Those things that you have and I have won't go with us. They won't mean a thing. You understand what I'm saying? Amen? So in other words, and it's more than just money, it's talents. It's time. And we could go into a lot of things, but folks, what do we do with our talents? What do we do with our time that we have? What do we do with those things? Do we lay them up in heaven? Let God use them for His glory? You understand what I'm saying? See, it's not just money, but certainly I believe that's included. Back again to Matthew, 16th chapter, or 19th chapter of Matthew. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And again, you notice that God used possessions and money as a test of this man's heart. You know, and I know, him going and selling all he had, giving to the poor, would not have got him salvation. It was belief in God that gets our salvation. Right. So belief in Christ. But he was testing his heart. You know, I've asked that. I've asked this of myself. I wonder what I would do if Jesus would come and say to me, sell all you have and give it to the poor. Let's put it down personal. What would we do if Jesus said to us, sell all you have and give it to the poor? Amen? What he's trying to say is this. He's trying to teach us. There's a greater treasure waiting in eternity than all of this. You understand that? You see, I understand. You know, I was young once. It's been 100 years ago, but I was young once. And I know how you feel. You look to the future and you look and think, and I want to do this and I want to do that. But please, young people, keep your eyes on the right treasures. See, all we hear nowadays is, you know, well, I want to make a lot of money and I want to do this and I want... Please, please, please keep your eye on the right treasure. Lay up treasures in heaven. Let God do with you what He wants to do with you. Amen? All of those new things and all those new clothes and all those beautiful jewelry and all of that stuff, you don't have to have that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying to you, please keep a balance in your Christian life. Okay? Be more important what you do for God and what you lay up in heaven than it is all these earthly things. Amen? So I think we have the same problem today. I think if Jesus would ask multitudes of people today to do what he asked this man to do, he'd get the same reaction. Amen? Matthew 6th chapter. Verse 19 again, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to stress this. Wherever our treasure is, whatever we love, where our treasure is, that is where our heart is. Because Jesus said so. Whatever he says is true. And wherever our treasure is, whatever that is in your life or my life, that is where our heart is. Okay? It's important you understand. But what he was saying is, he was saying it's not that treasures maybe will be gone. He's saying they will not last. They absolutely cannot last. Rust and moth and thieves break through. It isn't at the end of our life, maybe we can't take any of it with us. No, we won't take any of it with us. It's an impossibility to take anything with you. Amen. And it matters what you've laid up in heaven, because that's what's going to go. You understand that? See, treasures are not bad. They just won't last. See, he's trying to tell us where the treasures should be laid up so they'll last. You remember back in Proverbs, and I think it's the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, he said, riches take wings and fly off like an eagle. Folks, I've done some of this. I wondered if you would do it. If everything you have at home, can you imagine it with wings on it? Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to go. Then we could all go out to our automobiles, tonight, and just imagine some wings on them automobiles. You're going to take off one of these days. Amen. Amen. Sure. Yeah, because that's what God says riches, and that's what they do. They take wings and they're gone. Yeah, you're not keep them. I'm not going to keep them. No way. Amen. You've heard what a man said about he's never seen a hearse with a U-Haul following it. And that's true. Not going to take anything with us. You understand? Just nothing. We're not going to take anything with us. Absolutely. Chuck, you're a Southerner, aren't you?
Praise God.
He's a Southerner. He flies a Confederate flag there in his house, secretly. No, he doesn't. But anyway, he's a Southerner. Chuck, let's go back to the Civil War. He's also a Civil War buff. He loves Civil War things and reads about them, knows a lot of bit about it. Let's go back to it. Chuck, if you was living during that time, you was a rich man. You was a Southerner. But you had the knowledge. You already knew what was going to happen, that the North was going to win. Now, he's never admitted that even in 2007. But the North is going to win, Chuck. And you just had bundles and bundles of Confederate money. You knew that in a short period of time that money would be no good. Wouldn't it be wise if you would have traded that Confederate money into U.S. currency so that when all this fall, you would still be rich? Now, that's exactly what God's saying does. When Jesus comes in the rapture, or when you die, when I die, our currency be worth nothing. I don't care how much you got. I don't care if you have millions of dollars. It'll be no good to you. Understand? So why don't we trade it for heavenly currency? Oh, yes, we'll have to keep some, Chuck. You'd have to keep some to go ahead and live and buy your food and living and all those things until this fall comes. You'd have to keep some. That's the way with us. We have to keep some to keep us going, and God set it up that way. It's okay. He says, I know you have need of those things, but there needs to be balance. Needs to be balance. And we need to realize that if we don't lay treasures up in heaven, there's not going to be anything up there when we get up there. Amen. Matthew 19. I want to show you. I have to kind of go along here because of Master's Club, and that's good and that's right. But Matthew 19. Verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, Ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wives, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And again, Jesus is saying, you've lost some things, you've given up some things, you've sacrificed. But remember something, there's coming a day. And he said 100-fold. I've studied that. I don't know if he meant just 100-fold or whether he was just telling us it's going to be so enormously more
than what we have now that it won't make any difference. It'll be so great.
And I want you to understand something. That's why we've got to keep our eyes on the future, on heaven. When it comes to laying up treasures in heaven, we must begin now. I hope you've already begun, but we must begin now. Because he said, it's going to be like 100-fold be given you. You know, if we use dollars, and I don't like to use dollars, but I'll use it for, if we had $10,000, he said, 100-fold is a million. I think I've got my math correct. Be a million. What would you rather have? $10,000 or a million? See, that's what God's saying. He's saying it's going to be so much greater. See, do we got any boys here? None of our boys sit on the front seats anymore. Come here, Key. You can come easier and I can limp over there. I'm going to give you $1,000. You can, well, I just printed it. But anyway, you can do with that whatever you want. Okay? I mean, you can just do with it whatever you want. Go out and spend it. Do whatever you want. But if you'll wait and give me that and wait in 5 years, I'll give you $1 million. I'll give you $1 million in 5 years. Or you can have that $1,000 to go spend now. What do you want to do? You can sit down. Thank you. Make sense?
Yes, sir. Come on.
That's what God's saying to us. I know you're going to have to. I know you're going to be sacrificing. But listen, wait a minute. Let's look to the future. You understand what he's saying? You see? So why is he? Why is he saying? Well, he's saying, lay your treasures up in heaven. Where do you put them? You put them up there. See, it matters where you put them. It just matters. Amen? Send them on up. Now, I know, you see, I know there's difficulty. And especially in young people's lives, they're trying to build a family and they're trying to get houses and they're trying to do all of these things. But please, please, please keep it all in balance. God knows you have need of these things, certain things. I believe, you know, it's all right to have a house, a place to stay, a bed to sleep in, and a place to raise your family, but it don't have to be worth $1 million. It don't have to be fancy. It can be a nice, common, plain place where God has given you. You understand what I'm saying? Keep everything in balance. And God says, where are you going to put your treasures? You better lay them up. Good principle is this. Do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. Because after you're gone, you don't know where it's going. Amen? You say, well, I'm going to leave all this money. I'll leave it to my kids. What are they going to do with it? I want to tell you, if they don't put it into treasures, it'll be lost as far as heaven's concerned. You may not lose here, but as far as heaven's concerned, you're going to lose. True?
And those who are looking for inheritance says, Brother Ross, shut up. Let's change subjects. But I'm simply saying to you, that's truth. You can leave it to whoever you want, but don't figure on it being chalked up in heaven as a treasure. Correct? Amen. Correct? Amen. I'm just saying, I think we need to lay up our treasures in heaven. You agree? Amen. That's where God said to put them. I trust you will. Let's pray. Father, thanking you again, Lord, for your goodness and kindness and grace. Thank you for teaching us, Lord, that we should lay our treasures up in heaven, not on this earth. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.